Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the station Wichita turns to first for live team coverage of breaking news. KNSS, Wichita's number one news, talk, and weather station. Depend on it.
Good morning, 7 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. The release of the Mueller report. What's next? We've got the story.
The search is on to find the next president and CEO of Wichita Festivals Incorporated. I'm Matthew Harding.
Two unrelated drive-by shootings in southeast Wichita. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday. High pressure is moving into the central part of the country, and that's going to give us a nice stretch of weather right into Easter Sunday. Our full forecast is coming up.
Police are investigating an overnight shooting in North Wichita. This happened around 1 a.m. in the 1500 block of North St. Francis. A 65-year-old woman had been shot multiple times. She was hospitalized in critical condition. Wichita Police Lieutenant Chad Beard says they are looking for a suspect.
I believe that this is this was a targeted location at this time, so the community is not in danger in something like that.
A 12-year-old boy was hit by glass but was not seriously injured.
And police are looking for two suspects after the robbery of a convenience store in North Wichita. At least one shot was fired during the holdup. No one was injured. Just after 2 in the morning, officers were called to a quick shop at 29th and Arkansas. The suspects took cash and cigars. They're described as a skinny black male wearing a hoodie and armed with a shotgun, and a skinny white male wearing a hoodie and carrying a backpack.
Lawmakers are reacting to the release of the Mueller report.
Top House Democrats say there's still more to see after more than 400 pages, including redacted material, has been released.
So we will be seeking the complete and unredacted report. Again, so that we can do our proper oversight.
Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff is one of two committee chairs also requesting testimony from Special Counsel Robert Mueller. Top Senate Republican Mitch McConnell is commending the Attorney General's transparency.
I trust Bill Barr. I think it's rather laughable to see them turn their guns on him.
Barr is scheduled to testify for Congress May 1st and 2nd. On Capitol Hill, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Wichita Festivals looking for a new leader.
Thursday, Mary Beth Jarvis announced she will leave the organization after this year's Riverfest. She has been the president and CEO of Wichita Festivals since November 2012. Jarvis said in a news release that leading the organization was an energizing and satisfying privilege. She also says that new perspectives and fresh ideas have helped Wichita Festivals stay relevant and succeed over the decades, and her leaving is a chance to bring in fresh eyes and talent to the mission. During her time with Wichita Festivals, button sales are up 93%, cash sponsorships have grown nearly 50%, and overall revenues have grown 44%. Jarvis will help the new leader with the transition after the festival. Matthew Harding, KNSS News.
There were two nearly simultaneous drive-by shootings early Wednesday afternoon in the Plainview neighborhood in southeast Wichita, just a couple of blocks apart, but unrelated. Gunfire occurred north of 31st Street South at Hillside. Police Officer Charlie Davidson says the initial call was a disturbance with a woman firing shots in the 3000 block of South Clifton.
22-year-old Brianna Hernandez fired multiple shots towards a home while seated in a vehicle. At the time the shots were fired, three individuals known to Hernandez were outside the front of the residence.
There had been some sort of previous dispute among these individuals. She was located in the 4100 block of East Ross Parkway, booked into jail then for three counts of aggravated assault with a firearm, a felon in possession of a firearm. At about the same time, officers also heard gunfire nearby at Rutan and Ross Parkway. Vehicles tracked down to the 3400 block of South Hydraulic, and a 15-year-old boy driving the car, a gang member, was arrested for possession of a firearm by a juvenile, defacing a serial number, possession of marijuana, possession of alcohol by a minor, and outstanding arrest warrants.
The Kansas Bureau of Investigation is looking into a case in which a police sergeant from Russell was shot in an incident at the Days Inn in Russell. Investigators say police were called to the motel last evening to check on a possibly suicidal man. Officers reported shots were fired and a patrol sergeant with 17 years with the department was injured. He was taken to Hayes Medical Center, where his condition is reported to be stable. A male suspect is in custody.
Authorities say a police officer was seriously injured when he rear-ended a stopped school bus in southeast Kansas. Kansas Highway Patrol says the crash happened Wednesday after the bus driver stopped to drop off students along U.S. 166 near the town of Tyro. The officer had to be cut out from his patrol vehicle, was flown to a hospital. No students were hurt in the crash. The patrol says seven students from Caney Valley Schools were on the bus at the time.
A lawsuit from some parents in New York City hoping to stop mandatory vaccinations in a Brooklyn community has been dismissed.
The Brooklyn judge issued the ruling late Thursday. Parents had argued the city's requirement for all who live, work, or attend school in the Williamsburg community exceeded city authority. In a statement from City Health Commissioner Auxitis Barbeau, she says the ruling protects New Yorkers from a very dangerous infection and that Mayor Bill de Blasio's order is a dramatic response to a serious problem. The city is enforcing its order, with parents being subject to $1,000 fines for not having their kids vaccinated, as well as schools and daycares shut down for not making vaccination and attendance records available. In New York City, Grinnell Scott, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:05, 5 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Shocker, men's and women's bowling teams are trying to win a national championship, but it won't be easy. We'll give you the details coming up in sports.
Found on a family farm, a buried trunk of a different kind. That story coming up on the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. The KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted now, 7:08. 8 minutes past 7 o'clock. Sedgwick County District Attorney Mark Bennett has been trying to alert Kansas lawmakers to a big problem: insufficient treatment and care for people who have mental issues. Sedgwick County Sheriff Jeff Easter tells KNSS News the state is not spending enough money on the problem.
We had one guy last May that was booked 17 times, had numerous visits to Via Christi, numerous visits to ComCare, and how much money did we spend on that? They go up to Osawatomie, they can force Medicaid up there, they have them for about 10 days, and then they ship them right back to us with the same issue.
Sheriff Easter is our guest this weekend on Issues 2019, Sunday morning at 8 on KNSS.
In California, electric scooters are being used for more than just ride-sharing.
Los Angeles police have busted a band of scooter-riding thieves from San Francisco, accused of breaking into dozens of cars in the Hollywood area last weekend. Surveillance video shows how the scheme works. One man aboard a ride-sharing scooter slams into the back of a car, breaks a window, grabs whatever's inside, and passes it to another guy on a motorized scooter. Then they zip up to Oakland, where they reportedly sell the stolen items on the street. Police say the scooters allow the thieves to maneuver through the community almost at will. So far, there are 5 arrests. Kathleen Maloney, Fox News.
Found on a family farm, a buried trunk of a different kind.
Indiana family farmer Joe Shepman says it's amazing to think about something like this roaming this area. Found on his farm in Seymour during sewer line excavation, the fossilized bones of a very large mastodon, including most of a tusk, a skull, and a jawbone with teeth built for gnashing. Of course, it would have been 10 to 11,000 years ago. The first mastodon bones discovered in America in New York and Big Bone Lick, Kentucky, in the 1700s. People like Thomas Jefferson believed the fearsome species called American Incognito was still lurking somewhere in the American interior. But alas, it was extinct. In its glory, the elephant-like mastodon found in southern Indiana likely stood about 9 feet tall. Therese Crowley, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:10, 10 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Heaviest traffic right now in Wichita seems to be eastbound on Kellogg, right around the Central Business District between Seneca and there. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
Okay, let's take a look at the KSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast now with Kansas Today meteorologist Ronnell Williams. Good morning, Ronnell.
Hey, good morning, Steve. No weather worries, no troubles, no problems at all with the forecast. And with it being Friday, I've got that Friday feeling, but not just because it's Friday, but because we've got such a nice forecast that's really just going to give a smooth sailing all the way into our weekend. So today, partly cloudy skies, mostly sunny at times, and actually seeing a pretty nice sunrise right now. Winds are going to be breezy, still out of the northwest, which won't allow too much warming, but our highs should still warm pretty close to normal for this time of year, turning pretty pleasant as well, getting up to 68 degrees today. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 44, so a bit of a chill in the air once again by the time we wake up early Saturday morning. Light winds overnight, though. If you have Friday evening plans, you still may want to keep something with long sleeves close by, but it's going to be a pretty nice start to our weekend, especially into the evening hours. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow, turning windy, south wind at 10 to 25, but those strong south winds also sending our temperatures back up into the 80s, high of 81 for our Saturday. By Easter Sunday, got to watch out for a few strong and severe storms out there. They should be spotty in nature and isolated as well, but large hail, damaging winds, those are the main threats for right now. 43 degrees currently with a north wind at 14 miles per hour. Visibility's just fine at 10 miles, and we do have a wind chill. Feels more like 36 out there. So going to need the jacket, the coat this morning, but won't need it by the afternoon.
Had a nice little rain shower yesterday afternoon, and my rain gauge at home's got about an inch in it right now.
Really?
Yeah.
That must have been from Wednesday night as well. Was that combined?
Yeah, that was combined.
Oh, okay. Just making sure, because we only got about 0.03 inches in Wichita from those thunder showers yesterday. So you would have been the one shower that got, let's say, just a little bit more than that.
Yeah, that's for a whole day. All right. Thank you, Ron L. The KSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast with Kansas Today meteorologist Ron L. Williams. 713 Steve and Ted here on this Friday morning. The Mueller report has been released, 400 pages. Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland has read the entire thing this morning, and she is in Washington to tell us exactly what's in it. Good morning, Rachel. Nice to have you with us.
Good morning, Steve. Well, maybe not the entire thing, not the impedances at the end, but a great majority of it. And it is compelling reading for anyone who has the time to do it. Volume 1 lays out the attempts by the Russian government to influence the election, and they were vast. It was extensive. It went beyond social media accounts and hacking into the DNC server and disseminating emails through a couple of fake platforms at first called DC Leaks and Guccifer 2, and then through WikiLeaks. But Mueller concluded at the end of that report that no coordination between any U.S. persons, Trump campaign, nobody with the Russian government. Volume 2 lays out a pretty interesting case for obstruction of justice. Some of it we already knew. I mean, we heard about the firing of James Comey. We've known about some of this stuff. But one key scenario that stands out is that the president was pressuring then counsel Don McGahn to get rid of Robert Mueller. So all those rumblings about will the president fire Robert Mueller, it turns out he was pressuring McGahn to do so or have that happen. And he actually threatened to quit rather than do that. And he said it would be likened to a Saturday night massacre. But at the conclusion of that, of Volume 2, Robert Mueller decides that they are not going to make a decision on obstruction of justice, and rather he wrote that Congress has the authority to investigate obstruction of justice. So that kicks it to Congress, and whether or not Democrats will do anything or take action is unclear as we head into the holiday weekend.
What you just told me, and I hadn't heard that, but obstruction of justice is one of those things that they use the I word for in Congress, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And I think the Democrats are taking a measured approach here, although there are some like AOC and some others who are already using the word impeachment. But keep in mind that impeachment is a process, not an event. We knew what happened to President Bill Clinton in the 90s. House impeached him. Senate did not convict or remove. So I think in this case, if they did move to do that in the House, they may be able to get an impeachment hearing, get him impeached. But I don't believe there's anything in the report the Senate Republicans would band together and say, we've got to actually remove President Trump. Also, Democrats are aware, very aware, that the 2020 election is coming. And we're hearing reports early this morning that, indeed, Joe Biden is getting in. So that's all heating up.
Yeah.
I think people are retreating to their political corners just as we kind of expected them to after looking at the report.
Those of us who've been through a couple of impeachment type things know that slows the country down to if you think we're slow now, it really goes to a crawl when that happens.
Well, certainly it is distracting.
Yeah.
This whole, like yesterday in the news, I'm sure there were a zillion news stories that were flying under the radar because the Mueller report was sucking the air out of the entire country.
Right.
And maybe rightfully so. We've been waiting for this for almost 2 years. But indeed, something like this definitely captures the imagination, the attention of the country, and would dominate headlines indefinitely until until things were over.
There you go. Thank you for being with us. We appreciate it. Thanks. Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland in Washington, D.C. with a, apparently she's read at least a good part of that 400 pages that is the Mueller report. Thing is not over yet. There's going to be a lot of squawking going on here for a few days at least as people analyze this and come to their own political conclusions about it. 7:16 with Steve and Ted. Today is Friday, April 19th, 2019. As you know, it's Good Friday. On this date in 1995, something happened that really changed the atmosphere. A truck bomb destroyed the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City, killing 168 people. The bomber, Timothy McVeigh, prosecutors said, had planned the attack as a revenge for the Waco siege of 2 years earlier.
Yeah, on that same day.
And he was convicted of federal murder charges and executed in 2001. And, Ted, we've talked about this before. You remember that day in 1995. What do you remember about that? I mean, you were here at KNSS, right?
I was on the news desk, and I vividly remember the wire coming across and printing off, said there's been an explosion in Oklahoma City. And it's like, okay, that's kind of at a point where terrorism was still really not on our minds.
Wasn't on the radar,
like that
was
happened.
It?
But boy, no. When stuff happens like that now, immediately. But I said, okay. And then, boy, as the news started coming in, it was you knew how bad it was. One of our employees, in fact, was on the phone with a woman in Oklahoma City during the bombing. He was talking to her, and they were interviewing her to come take a job at KNSS. And they heard the explosion, and they both said, "What was that?"
Oh, it's just such a coincidence, then.
And
yeah,
it turns out it was the bombing.
All right, that was in 1995.
Terrible stuff.
Yep. 7:18, Steve and Ted here on KNSS. Let's switch Ted over.
They drove that truck bomb right through the heart of Wichita.
That's right.
On I-135.
You bet.
There was from Junction City down to Oklahoma City. Yeah.
All right. 7:18, Steve and Ted. Let's let Ted switch his hats to the sports hat right now. Talk about Shocker Bowlers in a big tournament, right, Ted?
Yeah, the big national championships this weekend in Dayton, Ohio. Shocker men and women both involved. Both, though, stumbled right out of the gate. Both losing in the opening round yesterday. Now, it is a double elimination tournament, but boy, if you lose that first one, you got to run the table the rest of the way if you want to win a national championship, which would include winning six straight matches today in the loser's bracket if they want to advance to tomorrow's championship. Well, the Shocker women did get things off to a nice start today. They beat St. Ambrose this morning. So Shocker women at least have one victory down. Now they got five more to go if they want to stay alive in the tournament. Shocker men face the same uphill battle as they go through the loser's bracket as well. They're in Dayton, Ohio. In the singles championships, Wichita State does have one competitor remaining, and that's on the women's side. In the national semifinals, Shocker senior Sierra Kanemoto, who's from Dayton. She'll be taking on an opponent from McKendree tomorrow in the Final Four to see if she can win an individual national title for the Shockers. Wichita State baseball team last night at home at X Stadium, starting out a three-game series against Central Florida. And the Shockers were able to get things done last night, snapping a six-game losing streak in the process. Mike Kennedy had the call. It was right here on KNSS.
2-2. Hit on the ground to the left side, off the third baseman's glove into shallow left field. One run is in. Here comes another man to the plate. There won't be a throw, and the Shockers lead 3-1.
Shocks would go on to win the game 8-6 and jump over Central Florida into seventh place in the American standings. Two more games to wrap up this series between the Shocks and Central Florida at X Stadium, 6 o'clock tonight and 10:30 tomorrow morning. And you can hear those games right here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. And right across the street, the Shocker softball team hosting East Carolina at Wilkins Stadium. And the Shocker softball team with an easy win in that opener yesterday, 8-0. Softball Shockers have won six straight conference games, are in third place in the conference. And they'll wrap up with two home games, 3 o'clock today, 11 a.m. tomorrow, out at Wilkins Stadium for Shocker softball. Major League Baseball last night, the Kansas City Royals in the Bronx, beginning a four-game set with the New York Yankees, and it was a dominating win for the Royals. You heard the game last night on Sports Radio KFH.
It's always great to get a victory in New York, particularly at Yankee Stadium, that has seen so much success. 27 world championships. They have won 40 pennants. You want to win in the Big Apple. And the Royals start this four-game road trip to the Big Apple. They got another terrific start from Homer Bailey, who went six innings, gave up only three hits, one run, one walk, and six strikeouts. All six strikeouts came on that nasty split finger pitch.
And the Royals won that game 6-1. Back-to-back road wins for the Royals. And they'll spend the rest of the weekend in New York taking on the Yankees. 6 o'clock tonight and then noon Saturday and noon Sunday. All those games on Sports Radio KFH, 1240 AM, 97.5 FM. The K-State baseball team with a nice win last night in Manhattan beat 19th-ranked TCU 7-4. K-State baseball team has won 5 of their last 6, including 3 of those wins over ranked teams.
Wow.
Indoor football tomorrow night. The Wichita Force finishing up a 3-game road swing on the road. Don't have to even leave the state. Just going up the road to take on the Salina Liberty on the road. Wichita Force football. Steve Strain will have the call tomorrow night from Salina, beginning at 6:45, and that is right here on your home for Force football, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. That's sports with Steve and Ted.
7:22 now. Keep it here for Rush Limbaugh's morning update. Another look at the Democrat presidential candidates. That's coming up, Steve, at 10 in the morning on KNSS.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.